Recently, Dr. Ted Baer wrote, "However you voted in whatever election, there are always consequences and unintended consequences." When people voted for Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, a highly suspect vote, or for Hitler in Germany, they didn't expect Venezuela to go from being the richest country in South America to a country of starvation and poverty under communism. They didn't expect for Germany to go from being the richest country in Europe to being the homeland of the Holocaust. In both instances, people of faith suffered more than anyone. Dr. Ted Baer joins us now. He's the publisher of Movie Guide, and what I just read was a portion of, or actually the opening of, an article he wrote called "Election Day Fallout, Judgment Begins in the House of the Lord." Ted, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. And I love being with you, Jerry, and I love what you do, and I love getting your updates every week. So
sure.
Thank you.
All right. Now, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and timestamp this discussion. You and I are talking on Tuesday afternoon, November 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2020. As of now, it doesn't look good for President Trump to be reelected. But as of now, he still has not conceded, because there are some serious allegations of some voter irregularity, and if what Sidney Powell and what Rudy Giuliani are saying is true, or even half of what they're saying is true, then the results might indeed be overturned because of direct, deliberate voter fraud using computer software. But let's suppose, for the sake of discussion, to hear out what you have to say, let's suppose Joe Biden, the projected president-elect, does indeed become president, and Kamala Harris, his vice president. I'm going to sit down and let you wax eloquent. What does it mean for the church?
Well, what it means, if we listen to the positions of the different parties and what they've done, and not look at the personalities. You know, looking at personalities, as I pointed out in the article, has been a disaster. I just read Robert Conquest's great book on Stalin. All these American intellectuals, British intellectuals, came over and met Stalin and thought he was the nicest guy. Actually, he was so nice, Jerry, that he used to take people over to his house that he was going to kill, and then the next day he'd kill them after drinking with them, telling jokes with them. Molotov, when he was invited over, knew that the next day was probably his last, but Stalin died, so that didn't happen. And it was the same way with Hitler. You've got all these pictures of him with babies and young girls.
Oh, wait. This gives Ted, that gives kind of a new meaning to that phrase, Molotov cocktail. But go on.
Right. So, and you know the history of it. And people didn't like Churchill. Churchill was very blunt. Now, he had served in every department of Manchester's three-part series on Churchill is great, and so is Churchill's series on World War II. But they elected him only, they got him in there, actually it was the king who got him in there, to stop Hitler. He did that, and the day that the war was won, they voted Churchill out, and he predicted that the socialists would destroy the economy of Great Britain, and they did. They destroyed the economy. They took over the coal mines. They took over this. They took over that. And finally, it was only Margaret Thatcher that freed them from this silliness. So what is the positions? You have to look beyond the personality. Now, a lot of people take the personality traits of Donald Trump or Biden, Joe Biden, based on what the news said. Actually, some news correspondents actually had the intelligence to count and show that Biden had been three times more name-calling during the first debate than Trump, and everybody thinks that Trump is just name-calling. And then some people pointed out that Biden has had a terrible sense of humor and been very anger and very mean toward other people. Whatever that case is, stop looking at the personalities. You're electing the platform. You're looking for what things. And what do we want? We want more life, not less life. I mean, if you had paid attention to Stalin and Hitler and all these people, you would have realized they were anti-life. And unfortunately, the Democratic Party has become very anti-life, not only for babies, but and newborn babies, but also for older people. And I'm 74. My wife just turned 75, so that's bad news for us. And the other policies are bad. We want freedom. You know, as a ministry in Hollywood, we are being pressed upon by the socialist government in California all the time. And it's a terrible situation. So when you vote, stop looking at personality. You're not going to like everything about everybody, although I like everything about Jerry Newcomb, and I think he's great. But there are some things you're going to dislike about me. So forget it. What is the position? What do they believe? What do they hold to? And if you look at that, you can stop looking at the fact, for instance, in California, that Gavin Newsom, as I call Gruesom, is a good-looking guy who's well-spoken, but his policy is just abhorrent, and we got to stop looking. We got to look for people who are statesmen, not politicians.
And what does it mean for the country if, indeed, Biden and Kamala Harris do become president, vice president? And you already mentioned the abortion issue, and you mentioned socialism. What other policies? Let's say the impact on religious liberty.
Well, everything about the church has been crushed here by Newsom, and he's sort of the bellwether, and also by Cuomo. I knew his father. When Cuomo was born, my first son was being born, and Cuomo's father, who was governor, came up and asked me to pray for his wife because they were having trouble with the birth.
Wow.
But Cuomo has become very anti-Semitic or synagogues, and so is de Blasio. I call it I grew up in the theater industry in New York, and it's sort of the New York mafia there who's running the city. And they're very anti-Semitic, as they've always been, and they're very anti a lot of other people in the city, and they're very anti-church. So we don't want people crushing the church. We don't want to become, as Alito said, Supreme Court Justice Alito, that we're just becoming second-class citizens, because faith is the key to keeping freedom. You can't have freedom without faith, because Jesus sets you free. John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, and of course that's what happens when you take anything, taxes or anything else, and kill. But when it can't steal easily, they kill and destroy the evidence, which is what Stalin and a lot of other people did. So now what we want is, in John 10:10, Jesus comes to set us free and give us a more abundant life. If you want an abundant life, you find that in Christ. You don't find it any place else in the world. And Jesus wants to offer you a more abundant life.
Okay, now the freedom that we enjoy to proclaim the gospel, to do our work, to educate our children, some of these things could be at risk. You know, the more and more the liberals take control of things, again, should Biden and Harris prevail in the national elections, and then I guess things depend also on how it turns out, how the vote turns out in Georgia as far as the Senate is concerned. But you see, for example, the Equality Act sounds good on paper or whatever. You know, let's have equality for gays or whatever. But in reality, what it really means is that Christian baker has to bake a cake, against his conscience to honor a same-sex wedding, or he goes to jail or something like that.
Well, all of that is a different definition of freedom. And of course, that came from Marcuse, and there's a great book that you know about, No Liberty for License. There's a difference between license and liberty, your views on somebody else, a license to impose your views on somebody else, a license to impose the LGBTQ agenda on other people. That may be licensed to be as... I'm going to use a word that everybody in the LGBTQ community hates, pervert. Perverse as possible and self-destructive as possible, but that's not liberty. Liberty is being who you are, who God designed you to being able to live an abundant life by living in the freedom of God's grace. And God's grace has certain wonderful inclusions, including to love one another. I have a lot of Hollywood people who take the other form of freedom and get upset with us articles that are against killing babies. And they talk about, what about the freedom to kill your baby? Well, shouldn't people have that? What about the freedom to kill your neighbor? And I say, are you a Christian? Yes. Do you love your neighbor? Well, do you love the baby? I mean, where do we go with this? So there's two freedoms being espoused, and that's been going on ever since, Darwin, and before that, Rousseau, and before that, we can go back. So we know the historical antecedents of the two freedoms, and
Clarify, what are the two freedoms you're talking about?
Well, the one freedom is the freedom to live in liberty, to have your own property and to live a peaceful life and to live with loving your neighbor. And the other freedom is the freedom to commit license, to be self-indulgent, to hurt the people around you, to be greedy, to steal, to maim, to mutilate, and say, well, I'm just being free. I'm being free to do all the things that I want to do, to kill my baby. I'm doing all these things. And, of course, that's a different form of freedom. It's called license, which is self-destructive and community-destructive.
Right. And Jesus said whoever sins is a slave to sin. And I've got to tell you, Ted, I'm not familiar with that book called No Liberty for License. Who wrote that?
Well, it's a great book, and I can't remember who wrote it right now.
Okay, I'm going to have to look it up after this discussion.
I can email it to you.
Sounds like a classic.
I had him speak a couple of times at some NRB in different places because it was so profound and beautiful. It's a legal book on the meaning of the First Amendment. It was written in the 80s.
Oh, that sounds great. All right, what else do you want to say about this article? You talked about how terrible things were for the Christian people, not to mention the Jews, in Nazi Germany.
Well, what I'm going to say is that, I'm getting a lot of feedback from friends who are donors, whose children hated them for voting for Trump. You know, I say I've already voted for Jesus, so I've got a king. I don't need a king, and I'm not going to get into those debates. I avoided that debate with a big name actor yesterday. But what they need to understand, one, is not to vote for the personality. And two, there are a lot of people who are very famous in the Christian community who are espousing not to annoy anybody by taking a position. You have to take a position for the policies. As I said at the beginning of all this, you have to look, what is the policy with respect to little babies? God designed babies. He created babies. He knew them before they were born. And if God designed them, heaven forbid that we should, and that's what I mean, heaven forbid that we should kill them. And you have to say, God designed the freedom, not from stealing. The whole freedom from stealing in the Bible is not that, just to worry about the government taxing us. It's Ahab looking down at Naboth's vineyard and saying, I want that vineyard. And when he can't get it, Jezebel says, kill Naboth. So you kill Naboth and you steal the vineyard. What that passage is doing at that point is protecting the little guy from the state. It's protecting him from the power because the state has the army and all of the forces to take away your property and to kill you. So we need to understand that if we want liberty, we have to understand what liberty is. A good place to do that is to start reading some of your books because you set that forth very clearly.
Oh, you're very kind. Where do I send the $20 bill? No, I'm just kidding. You quote Keith Olbermann in the piece, and he called for stamping on everyone associated with President Trump. Recently, AOC, Congresswoman from Ocasio-Cortez from New York, she said we need to blacklist anybody who had anything to do with Trump or even supported him. Okay, we have 1 minute to close on this whole thought about Election Day fall.
1 minute is... Not only that, but I hear this from a lot of my Christian friends in Hollywood that we got to get rid of everybody. And the word get rid of, well, the only way Stalin got rid of him is killing him. The only way Hitler got rid of him is killing him. The only way Chavez got rid of him. We got to say, what is the consequences? If we love our neighbor, we don't want to get rid of anybody. We want free speech. We want the good to rise to the top. We want to know what love is, and we want to love one another and be free to love one another in Jesus' name.
All right, Dr. Ted Baer, where can people read your articles and see more stuff about Movie Guide? MovieGuide.org, I assume.
MovieGuide.org, and we give out free newsletters to tell you date night movies and family movies and all the rest of it. So we're there to help you. We're a ministry, and we help people in Jesus' name.
Amen.